needed. Some of you say, I'm getting up there in age, and I appreciate that, Pastor. Chapter 11 of Matthew, what Jesus has to say about one great preacher. His name was John the Baptist, and that's kind of what we're dealing with today. So good to see some of my friends here today. I've got another bouncer in my church today, in the church. His name is Vince, back over here. I appreciate Vince. He was saved in this church, and I'm just so glad to see him. I contacted him. He said, I'll be there Sunday, Pastor. And he's as excited as I am to be back in God's house, and so very thankful. Are you in Matthew 11? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's see what Jesus has to say. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? This is Jesus speaking. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now if you go back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we'll pick it up where we left off last week, going through the Gospel of John. And let's stand. I'd like to invite your attention to verse 19 through 29 or 30. Yeah, we'll go to verse 30, 19 to 30. And you pray for me. I'm not sick, but I have this frog and it won't come out of my throat. So, all right, are you there? John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Say amen. Look with me in verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. That's that religious rulers, Jews, that Jesus called hypocrites, a lot of them. And verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I like that, don't you? I'm going to say that again. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after he cometh, a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Let's pray. You pray for me today. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the opportunity to open your Holy Bible, and we're thankful that we have the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We're thankful we can come to church on a rainy, cloudy day. And Lord, we even think of the possibility that you may come back this very hour, because you said, Lord, you cometh in clouds. And Lord, there's clouds out there, so this may be the day. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, may today they take a look at the Lamb who's able to take their sin away. And Lord, I realize I'm nothing without you. Lord, I can do nothing. And so I humble myself, and I want to be a voice for you, Jesus. I want to help point people to you. So may you take this message and use it for your honor and glory. Bless the people here today. Thank you for their faithfulness. And may they hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful service. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'd like to talk a little bit about the testimony of John the Baptist. You already saw in Matthew chapter 11 what Jesus thought of John the Baptist. And I say amen to Jesus. Whatever Jesus says, it's good and it's right. And so I'm very thankful that I am a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist thinking, you know, I'm always right. And for sure, not only Baptists will be in heaven. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll be in heaven, right? Amen. And I think you'll be surprised who all makes it to heaven. But it's through Jesus. It's through the blood of Jesus. But I am thankful. The reason, the main reason I'm a Baptist is because the Baptists believe this book. The doctrine of this book. And by the way, Jesus did walk 60 miles on foot to get a Baptist baptism. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And so I am thankful that I'm a Baptist because we believe the doctrines of this book. They asked one man, what would you be if you were not a Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. That's what I'd be. But I'm thankful for the testimony of John the Baptist. You see there in chapter 1, in verse 6, last week we spoke about this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so that authority passed down from God to John the Baptist. Amen. And I'm thankful for God's authority. His final authority is His Word. And so we see the testimony of God. We heard what Jesus said about He, no greater prophet born of woman than of John the Baptist. He was a plain man. He was plain in his dress. He was clothed with camel hair and skins, and he was plain in his diet. He ate locusts and wild honey. Amen. We'd probably be better off if we ate more locusts and wild honey than we did the golden arches. Okay. But he was a plain man in his dress and his diet. He was also very plain in his message. Amen. Plain in his message. He stuck with the Lord, didn't he? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was, John the Baptist was born to Elizabeth, the cousin of Jesus, who was a miracle that she even had him. Amen. And he leaped in her womb. But we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He was born like no other man. He lived a life like no other person. And he died a perfect life. And Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God when He was down on this earth. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there's never been a person like Jesus. No one else can take away your sin but Jesus Christ. So he had this testimony. He was a voice. He was a voice. What is the definition of a voice? It's a sound. You'll see football teams call audibles, and they have that voice, and they try to get them to jump, don't they? Get them off sides, and they have a loud voice. And John the Baptist was a loudmouth preacher, no doubt. And you'll see why I'm saying that here in just a moment. But it's a noise uttered. It's a voice loud and clear. And that's preaching. That's proclamation of the Word of God. John the Baptist had that. Now, a woman's voice, it's soft and musical at times. A bird, his voice is sweet and melodious. But John's voice was loud and clear. And he proclaimed who Jesus was. And Jesus was coming down the road. He said, it's not me, it's him. By the way, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was God's mouthpiece for the Lord. He was crying out. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, hold your place here. Because he talks about that voice by the prophet Isaiah back in John chapter 1 verse 23. But in chapter 40 of Isaiah, this is what he's talking about. By the way, over 700 years before John the Baptist came on the scene, he was prophesied by Isaiah over 700 years before. That's amazing about the Bible. Hey, prophesied so many years before that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem by Isaiah. The Bible has no errors. It's perfect. It's infallible. It's without fail, incapable of failing. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, are you there? Okay, let's look at a little bit here. Verse number 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Hey, it can't happen without the Lord Jesus. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that thou bringest good tidings. Can I tell you, Jesus is good tidings. That's the gospel. That's good news. Get thee up into a high mountain, O Jerusalem. Thou bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, and be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, the reward, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them into his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And so John the Baptist was a loud and clear voice for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus loved him. Go over to chapter 58. You're right there in Isaiah. Chapter 58. In verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now that's not too popular when you get talking about people's sins. Amen, their sin. They don't want to hear about their sin. But it's necessary. Hey friends, you can't be saved until you understand you're lost. And friends, be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. We're all in that same condition. It started back with our great Adam. You know, sin came into the world, and we're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior. He says, cry aloud and show them their sin. And so John the Baptist, back over in John chapter number 1, he was a proclaimer. He was a prophet, a preacher for the Lord, and he pointed people to the Lord. He said, I am not this one. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latchet. He is preferred before me. And in verse 27 of John chapter 1, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And so John the Baptist was a strong voice, and he proclaimed that there is an urgency. There is an urgency. You don't know when somebody's going to pass. I mean, we go to the hospital, we visit people. And doesn't the Bible say, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment? We need to share Christ with people now while we have the time, right? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So he was crying out. Paul cried out with a loud voice to that Philippian jailer, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." So there is an urgency. We need to cry with his voice to our families who are lost. Whoever you see, whoever you come in contact with that needs the Lord, they need to hear that clear, loud voice that there is a Savior, amen, and that he's the only one who can satisfy. Even at times that it's not too convenient. Maybe at a funeral, maybe at a family gathering, maybe at Christmas or Thanksgiving coming up, and you have people around your table that don't know the Lord. We need boldness. Yes, truth and mercy and love and grace, but we need to tell people about a living Savior. We may never see them again. The Robbins, you were at the wedding yesterday, and I told the crowd yesterday, it wasn't the easiest place to give the gospel, but you know what? You can never take the gospel to the wrong address. And we were there and said, we may never have this crowd again. Chances are there were some older people in that crowd and people that flew in from this state and that state. That crowd will never be together again. But you know what? The gospel is on time, and the gospel is the right message for every occasion. And I'm thankful we did give the gospel with the help of the Lord. So John's testimony was he was a voice. He was a clear voice for Jesus. He called out audible. I mean, he gave it out. Not only was he that, but he was also, his testimony was humility. Verse 27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." You know, the sign of greatness in any man is humility. That's the real sign. You know, the Lord has a lot to say about humility in the Bible. There was a person that you struggle with. You say, "How do I know?" Because I know the Bible. There's a person you struggle with every single day. His name is that old serpent, the devil, right? Satan. What got him in trouble? We'll go over to Isaiah 14. Hold your place here with your ribbon. Isaiah 14. Here's the characteristic of the devil, the devil's testimony. We'll pick it up in verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," see, that's where that pride is, "I will ascend into the heaven." When you get to thinking you're more than God, friends, pride cometh before fall, doesn't it? "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." I don't think so. He had eye disease, church. "I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north," only if the Lord allows it. Amen. "I will ascend," verse 14, "above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You know, every time we look in the mirror, we should just be honest with ourselves, right? If you look in the mirror, we just don't have it, do we? Anything you see that's good or blessed, it's because of Him. But we just don't have it. But some people think they have it, don't they? And watch out. Get out of their way. They're fixing to fall. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought," what? Down to hell. Hell's a downward slope to the sides of the pit. Heaven's up north. If you die without Jesus Christ, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. If you die as a saint, as a born-again Christian, you've trusted Christ, you'll be carried by the angels. Right? And you'll be in heaven. If you believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, what? There ye may be. He'll never leave us, Brother Jay, nor forsake us. If you have Christ, if you're born again, you've trusted, that's another term for being saved, amen. You just can't. People say, I'm a Christian. Well, how long have you been a Christian? All my life. That doesn't mean Christ is in you. The hope of glory. The way you're saved is you humble yourself. And you trust in the one that can save you. He is preferred. Amen. John the Baptist said. Oh, friends. John the Baptist's testimony was that of a voice. And he's a testimony of humility. He had a high respect for Jesus Christ. He didn't even feel worthy to unlatch his shoe latchet. He said, I must, what? Decrease. And he must increase. The word humility has to do with regard and honor. Do you honor the Lord? Miss Uliana was talking about honoring the Lord with God's tithe. Do you honor him? Yeah, a Christian, people say, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. No, you haven't. You have to have a time in your life where you've received Him. And when you have that time, you'll know it. And by the way, you'll never regret it, dear friends. You'll never regret it. Amen. Some of you are listening really good. So He was a voice. He was humble. By the way, I want to put a plug in here, if you will, for our seniors. Say, how old is old? I don't really know how old is old. I'm not there yet. In the Bible days, I think it was 70. You'd call yourself an old man. You're blessed if you're 80 and above, right? You've got grace if you're over 80. I want to put a word in for everybody here. That's up in age. Us younger, whoever you may be, we need to honor them, regard them, respect them, and listen to them. Amen. You know that Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom was split because they didn't listen, Brother James, to the counsel of the old men, did they? It was split. Wasn't kind to the elderly folk. Hey, friends, you don't know how long you're going to have them. I mean, they're on their way to heaven, but they're a little closer, amen. That's why the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're 6 foot deeper. It takes them longer to get up in there, in the air. But friends, for whoever's younger than the older, the younger needs to respect and honor and regard the elder. Submit yourself. A lot of them have learned more than you've ever, they've forgotten more than you've ever learned. That's what I want to say. And so when I get around like Jim Gray up in the hospital, there's Carol, his wife. How's he doing? Is he hanging in there? I believe it. He's such a blessing. I walked away from the hospital and he encouraged me. You know, he's praying for people, praying for you folks. He's witnessing, passing out tracts, and has gone through so many health issues. But we need to respect all of our elderly people, reverence them. John the Baptist, he was humble. He understood who he was. And he understood who Jesus really is. He had Isaiah 53 standing in his very presence. The prophecy of Isaiah 700 years before. John the Baptist said, he's preferred. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. No one else can. Religion can't save your soul. A preacher or a pastor or a priest cannot save your soul. There's only one. His name is Jesus. He was bold in that and humble. What's the Bible say about humility? Hold your place in John and go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 6. Over in the New Testament. Hebrews, James. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Listen. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the what?
Humble.
Humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Just go over to the right a little bit to Peter. The book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Put your humility on. Realize that we're just sinners saved by grace. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In our prayer life, we ought to humble ourselves. We ought to recognize who we're coming before. It's good if you're able to get on your knees, get on your face. It's good to do that. That's a great position to pray in. But more than that, listen, more than that, humble our hearts before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you're asking and praising Him and thanking Him, oh, humble your hearts. Show that regard. Show that reverence to God. He's worthy. I see another testimony. Another testimony back in chapter 1, verse 29. And this will be it. John chapter 1, verse 29. Not only did he have the testimony of being a voice for the Lord Jesus, he was humble, but he had the testimony of right was born. He knew who Jesus was. He knew who he was looking at. In Isaiah 53, a well-known passage, a blessed passage, in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Look at this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I love this. But he, talking about Jesus, the same Jesus that John proclaimed, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You'll not go to heaven or have your sins forgiven without Jesus. All we like sheep, there it is. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That's the same lamb John the Baptist was proclaiming. Behold, the Lamb of God, the innocent lamb. Jesus was innocent, and he stood there before John. Behold, the Lamb of God. So he knew who he was. He knew who he was looking at. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you realize that He is the Lamb of God which can take away the sin of the world? I like this verse, and I believe it's one of the only epistles that says it like this in 1 Peter. Listen as I read it. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Listen. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And the perfect, innocent, just Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, came down because He loved you and He wanted to save you and He wanted to wash all your sin away. He wanted to forgive you and give you that peace. It's kind of the only way it's said in this epistle identifies the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That refers to Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. You know, men are not lost because they commit many sins. Listen. We all commit many sins. But you're not lost because you commit many sins. Men are lost because they are sinners and condemned already under sin, inherited from Adam. We are born in a sin and shapen iniquity into a world of sin. And when Jesus died, hey, He died on that cross. You believe that? He literally died. What did He say? He said seven things, I believe, utterances. One of the things He said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He remembered His mother, John, thy mother. He said, I thirst, didn't He, on the cross. And He did all of that for us. He told that sinner that remembered Him, He said, today thou shalt be in paradise. Right? Oh, He said so much. Now here's something else He said, Miss Martha. He said, it is finished. When He died, it was finished. It was over once and for all. Silver and gold cannot save your soul, but only the blood of Jesus Christ. When He died for you and for me, but it didn't stop there. They took Him down and they placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He wouldn't need it very long. And there was no one in there, because when He rose again the third day, there was so much power going on in there that if somebody else would have been in there, they'd have rose from the dead too. Amen. Jesus Christ died. He shed His blood. He suffered. He took our nails. He was buried. And on the third day, Jesus Christ came up. And because He lives, we can live as well. We have hope. I said we have hope, church. Amen. We know. We can know. You say, nobody can know they're going to heaven. That's not what this book says. He says in 1 John 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Why? Because of the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ took away sin. Back in those Old Testament sacrifices, they just covered the sins. They didn't take it away. All that's done away with. Praise the Lord. He can take away your sin. And He can do it today if you'll trust Him as your Savior. With our heads bowed.